is going to make war with another king and does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000 or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. Now, those are verses after 25. Now, watch the ones before verse 25. All right, let me get there. Okay, it says, now great crowds came and accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. He has to hate everything else. Hate his mother, his brother, his father, his sister, everyone. Now, is Jesus saying literally hate them? No, he is not saying that. This is what he's saying. Anyone who loves me less than them hates me because I loved you more than all. I love you more than all. So anyone who loves me less, if you love me less than your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, then you cannot be my disciple. Basically, either you're all in on this or you're not. You know what happens when you put on more than half of your uniform? You're declared not fit for duty. You cannot put on some of the uniform and be fit for duty. You cannot put on most of the uniform and be fit for duty. You have to put on the entire uniform to be fit for duty. You know why I know this? Because I get emails about justice files. And in the justice files, it tells you inappropriate uniform because they forgot their hat. He forgot his hat and got in big trouble for it. Because it's showing that it's a lack of responsibility. You have this hat for a reason. You're supposed to wear it. And they get in big trouble if they wear that thing inside. I've seen it a couple of times. Oh my goodness, I didn't know it was that serious. But you walk in a room, if you have a uniform on, you keep that hat on, everyone's going to look at you like there's a snake behind you. But ready to attack, because they know that's a big no-no. And they're taught from day one, this is not something you do. Now, I didn't spend not one day in the military, but after being there for 5 years, you get the decorum, you get the attitude, and it is, woo! But I respect that. I respect that. All right, but Jesus said, sit down first and count the cost. Have any of us did any impulse shopping before? To where you knew you had the money and you weren't even thinking about missing it. But after you got what you got, before you even got home, you realized you didn't need half of that stuff you just got. You didn't need half of it. Now, God will never give us something we don't need, but we give ourselves more than what we need because of what's available out there. Now, Paul knew the cost. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Philippians chapter 3. All right. I'm using the new Bible that one of the students bought for me. I'm getting used to it. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. The Bible says in verse 7, but whatever I gained, I had, I counted all for loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as a loss because the things I surpass, birth knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, and having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. So, Paul, an apostle, understood the cost of discipleship. He was a man that enjoyed the great prominence among the Jewish elite, but he forsook it all for the love of Christ. For the love of Christ. Now, there are two types of people in the world. There are people who eat to live, and there are people who live to eat. Those are the two types of people. Some people eat to live. They want all they can get as long as they can get it. And there's people who live to eat. The Bible says, let the days thereof, the days evil thereof, be as sufficient. We're supposed to be from day to day people. And the people who wanted to follow Christ thought they knew. They thought they wanted to, until he really put them to the test. And I'm going to show you the test. All right, let's go to Luke. Let's go to chapter 8. I'm going to show you this test. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. I'm setting up something here. Don't worry, you'll see it soon. You will definitely see it soon. Nothing like your old Bible. Because this new one here, Luke chapter 9, I'm sorry. This new one, I didn't think about it. Look how small that print is. Microscope. And I'm like, I'm getting there though. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Alright. Verse 57. Jesus gets very, very serious. He's not joking around. And he's making it very, very plain. In Matthew, Jesus said, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. Don't make rash promises that you can't keep. You can't make one hair in your head white or predict what's going to happen the next day. So stop trying to make predictions that you can't make come true. If you're going to be with me, be with me. If you're not, then stop messing around and wasting my time. This is a true cost of discipleship he's about to show them here. Verse 57, and as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That means that I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to sleep the next day. Are you ready for that? Are you really ready for that? Are you really ready to go wherever I'm going? Are you really ready? And he says here, to another, he said, follow me. Jesus said to another, follow me. Follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus replied to him. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. So what he's saying is, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. That's what that means. Let the dead bury their dead. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. But if you are spiritually alive, you are going to follow me. Because the ones that are physically dead are already dead. But since you're spiritually dead, you can't follow me because you're spiritually dead. Let the dead bury their dead. That's what he means by that. All right. He says, but as for you, if you are spiritually alive, go and proclaim the kingdom of God because it is coming. Then he gives another illustration, verse 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And we already talked about counting the cost. If any man does not hate his brother, his mother, his sister, his father, he cannot be my disciple. And this is what he's saying here. Let me first say farewell to those in my home. Well, you see what happened when Lot and his family had carried out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Two angels said, when you go, you keep going and you don't look back. Now, I don't know. I have to read and hear and see what would happen if they did turn around. I don't know if I read what would happen if they did turn around. But the angel did tell them not to turn around. He didn't tell them what not to do. He told them what to do. He told them what not to do. And he told them what to do. He said, don't look back. Don't look back. And one of them looked back and turned into what? Pillar of salt. So when people ask me questions, let me first do this and first do that. Guess what I call that? I call those salt questions. Because those are questions that ain't going to get you there. Those are questions not going to get you there. I run into people, even people in my Bible class that say, what about those people in Alaska? What about those people in Africa? What about those people that don't have much water? How are they going to be baptized? How are they going to obey the gospel? And I tell them, what about you right now? Can you do anything about those people in other countries? Not right now, no. But can you do anything about you right now? Absolutely. The most control you can ever be in, most control you can ever have, is what you decide to do in the present moment. That is the most control you will ever have in your life, is right now. You cannot control what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. You cannot change what happened in the last 10 minutes. Only thing you can change and control is what you're doing right now. And he's making the conscious decision to say, let me say farewell to those in my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot look back. Like Lot's wife. Can't look back. Now, what does that mean, puts your hand to a plow? Well, this was old. This is I explained this before. I'm explaining again. There was a plow. Let me see if I can draw it. In the old times, there was a plow. All right, and there was it was connected, all right, to a horse. I cannot draw a horse right now. Bear with me. Pretend that's a horse. All right, and there was a man that was driving it. All right, he's driving the plow, and you got to keep the plow straight to make the straight lines in order for all the crops to go in. Now, let's say you're on this plow and you're walking. Guess what happens if you look back? The plow is going to move. And no longer straight, and you mess up all the lines going forward because it's a long field. If you mess up by looking back, guess what? That's going to cost you money that you cannot afford to replace. So he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, once you put your hands on this, you can't look back. You got to keep your hand focused and going forward because it's not only you're not driving this thing. The donkey or the horse or whatever the animal, the mule, is driving it. You got to make sure it's going straight because it's following your direction. It's not the other way around. God is the driver and he's not going to change direction. But if you're looking back, you're not ready. You're not ready. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. We're going to start at verse 25. All right. Verse 24. Then the disciples told him, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return or in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is coming with his angels in glory of his Father, and then will pay each person according to what he has done. Now, this is a heavenly blessing. But if your mind is focused on the carnal, if your mind is not spiritual and focused on the physical, you're going to rob yourself of what you're getting. Because people want all they can get while they're here and alive. But guess what? God wants that for you too. He wants you to have it both ways. He wants you to have it all, financially, physically. He wants you to have a good health. He wants you to have all these things. God has a lot of positive reinforcement in his teaching, but we don't see it that way. Because we see things, we see commands. We see God in the Old Testament saying, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Isn't those good things that you shouldn't be doing? When the Bible says, do not bear false witness, isn't that a good thing? People don't want any limits. That's why we're creating more laws of having less laws. We're creating more laws of things being more exposed and out there than focusing on the cost. Now, what can a man give in a return or exchange in his soul? There's nothing more worth it. There's nothing more worth it. Everything we have in life is on borrowed time. Everything in life. We don't own anything. Everything is a temporary loan. This body we have is not ours. So we might as well use it to our to the best of our abilities. Let's go to one more. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. We're going to read 42 through 50. Mark chapter 9. All right, he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone was hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life crippled and with hands and or to go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life lame with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. For it is better for you to enter the kingdom with one eye than to have 2 eyes thrown into hell where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if it's lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and at peace with one another. That's very, very crucial. That's very crucial. So what Jesus is saying is, looking, you can lose your salt. You can lose it. Now, when you're trying to eat oatmeal without salt, it don't taste too good. You want to put a little bit in there. It's amazing how these little bitty sprinkles make a huge difference to the whole meal. Alright? But without it, how does it taste? It tastes very lame. It don't taste very good. Now you can still eat it, but it's not going to taste very good to you. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light. We are the light. We are the salt. We are the ones who bring the flavor, the ones to bring them out into the light. Don't lose that. Make your salt worth it. Don't lose that. You can lose it. You can lose it by your lifestyle. You can lose it by the actions. You can lose it. You should be very thankful when you have a conscience and you can be aware of the things you've done wrong to come to God. There are brothers and sisters that we have lost and no longer have the conscience to realize what they're doing is wrong. They have not count the cost of being a Christian. They have not counted it. Instead, they've sold it. They have sold out. We are losing brothers and sisters left and right. Some of them are here, some of them are there, but not consistent. They're not consistent. When you love something, you won't stop. You won't stop. When you love something, you fight for it. You keep going. You don't stop. They're not counting the cross properly. If they did, then they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. I'm making no excuses. Instead of saying, I can't come to Bible study or worship service because of this or because of that, you reverse it by saying, I cannot go with you. I can't go with here with you. I can't go there with you because I have worship service, because I have Bible study. You flip the priorities in God's favor, not for yours. You flip it. When Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus, they were looking for him everywhere. And Jesus said to his parents, why are you looking for me everywhere? You know you find me in my Father's house. At a young age, he was saying, I must be about my Father's business. It wasn't his business from the beginning. It's not our business either. It's God's business that we're doing. We are his workmanship. And he doesn't make any crap. Everything he makes is perfect. We are the ones who dilute it because we make it more about ourselves instead of about him. That's the truth. We make it more about ourselves and it's not about us. Here's the final word. The cost of discipleship is totally reasonable in the light and the gift that we have been given. You were not redeemed to corruptible things like gold, like silver and gold, from the aimless conduct received from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Simply put, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 18. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 18. Paul says, free from sexual immorality, every other sin a person commits outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? For within you whom you have from God. You are not your own. You are not your own. For you are bought with a price. So glorify the Lord in your body. We are bought. We are bought. When you join the military, I'm not saying they buy you. I'm not saying that at all. But when you join God's army, when you put on Christ, he bought you with his blood. With his blood. In the Old Testament. Alright? And Hebrews chapter 9, it tells us, for by the law are almost all things purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You were bought with a price. And we're supposed to honor God with our bodies, with our minds, with everything. That's the price of discipleship. For salvation is full and free. Yes, but discipleship will cost you your life. It will cost you friends. It will cost you a lot of unwanted disappointment by trying to please others. You will cry. You will hurt. You will suffer. You will gain. And you will lose. But Paul says, I die daily. What does he mean by dying daily? He dies daily by the things in his life that he doesn't need anymore. That he doesn't need anymore. That's what he means, I die daily. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is even better. Why does Paul say that? Because the longer he lives, the closer he knows he's getting to God. That makes sense? This is how the world thinks. They think that we're going to make it out of here alive. No one is making it out of this life alive. Everyone is going to the grave unless God comes and Jesus comes and take us first. That's way better odds than for us to live in a life of formality or to think there's some other way outside of Christ. There is no other way. I'm not trying to be one-sided. I'm not trying to be closed-minded. I'm only speaking to you from what I can read right here. For Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No one comes to my Father but by me. And there's anyone today who has not counted the cost, or there's anyone today who have questions about where they stand with God, they need to examine themselves right now and today. But there's only one calendar. There's only one date. There's only one thing more important to God, and that is right now. He is in the present. He says, now is the accepted time. Now is the time to obey the gospel. Now is the time of salvation. God is not a God who wants to think and wait until tomorrow or this day or the next day. Only time on God's calendar is right now. Because he knows what's going to be our end, but we don't. So why live in fear? I know some of us live in Vegas, but why gamble with your salvation? Why do that? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If there's anyone today who wants to put on Christ in baptism, the first thing they have to do is hear the word. So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And then they must believe the word. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And then you must repent. God is not slack in his promise, as though man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then you must confess. If you confess me before my Father, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. God wants you to confess in public that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because he is the Son of God. By Jesus confessing that he was the Son of the Blessed, they sent him to death. But his death frees you from sin. That's how it works. That's how it works. And then you must be baptized in water grave of baptism. For in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But there's no point in being baptized if you don't believe. You're not qualified. If there's anyone who wants to be baptized today, can do that right now. Or anyone to make any confession, they can do that right now as they stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.
All to Jesus.